prenez.
Ouais.
All right, so happy New Year, church. Good to see all of you again. And especially to my old friend, all the way from Taiwan. Truly a surprise. I'm going to wrap up my series on the messages called Let's Choose the Jesus Way. So this series of messages is built from the song called The Jesus Way. I hope you won't get tired listening to it by now. But there are certain things in the lyrics in the song that is really, really, that is worth time to reflect and think about, because they give us some practical steps or suggestions as to how we can follow Jesus. Okay, you know that this Christian life is all about following Jesus. Okay, and sometimes you know we may come to a place where we suddenly we don't know what we're doing. You know, that kind of thing. So the songs, especially in the lyrics part. Right. So this is the part that you know you find in the course, and that is also where I form my messages. So when we say we follow Jesus, we choose the Jesus way. One way of explaining that is, as we follow Jesus, we choose to surrender to Him. Okay, we didn't just surrender to Him the time when we invited Him into our lives. We have to keep on surrendering ourselves. That is an ongoing thing. You have to do it almost every single day, okay? So this is one way of following Jesus. We need to choose to love. You know, again, love is no longer just a sentimental thing. Love is not something that you feel like doing it, then you do it. No, this is a choice. You need to choose to forgiveness, right? Sometimes there is someone that naturally you would not forgive. And Jesus is not saying that, well, wait till you are ready, wait till you are emotionally are intact, then you forgive. No, you don't do this. If you keep on waiting, then you will wait until the day you die. It never comes. So forgiveness is a choice. And I've already talked about this. I don't want to repeat myself. Choose to be gracious, okay? As simple as when you see people here, you greet one another. You may say, well, I don't even know them. Well, it's okay. Introduce yourself. Hi, my name is. And some of you, you know, there may be an age barrier here. Okay, I hope we don't. But, you know, some of the young people may look at, you know, the adult, oh, they're too old. They are my uncles and aunties, you know. It's okay, you know. You can still come together and say a little. Nobody asks you to stick with the person for an hour. Okay, so just come to them, simply say, hi, good to see you. You don't even need to know anything. If you're interested about their names, you can say, can you tell me your name again? That is a very gracious way to do. And we need to do more in church. We may not see this, you know, on the outside, in the workplace. We may not even see that, you know, I have two grown-up girls. And when they're home, they don't call you. They're just home. You know, something like this happened in the house. And we're talking about blood, you know, they are my daughters. They don't call you. It's, hey, that kind of thing. So sometimes it's good to just, you know, struck a little conversation. How's your day? Or tell me your day. Or you tell them what happened to you in your workplace. Or get something going. It doesn't take a long time, but I think, you know, it promotes sort of this gracious way of, you know, acknowledging one another. Don't live your life as if you don't see anyone. Okay? So that is a very basic thing that you know we're just asking. So today we're gonna wrap up the series, and the final thing we're gonna talk about is choose to worship no matter what I face. Now, the two questions that you need to ask when we sort of beginning to ask this question. The first question to ask is, why out of so many things, why worship? Why not this? Why not that? Why not this? Why it has to be worship? Why we have to choose to worship? Another thing is it possible to worship God no matter what we face. The passage that I chose, if you still remember, Luke. Those of you who have been in a church for a long time, you know what this story is about. In one day, all the bad things that you can imagine happened to Job. In one day. Okay? And at the end of what happened, if you take a look at verse 20, you know, after hearing all these bad things happening to him in one day, verse 20, at this, Job got up, tore his robe is a way to show that he was in agony. He was really painful. Okay? So he tore his robe just to let people know that I'm in agony. So he was in pain. And shaved his head. Okay? And then what did he do? He fell to the ground in worship. That is the verse I want you to focus. This is what happened to Job. And this is what he chose to respond without knowing everything. You know everything because you read the Bible, because you know the part that Job didn't know. So you know the story better than he did. He didn't know. There's certain things that he didn't know. But even though he was sort of partly kept in the dark, and when bad things happened to him, the first thing he did was worship. Now, when something bad happened to you, do you worship God the first thing you do? Do you know why you need to worship God? And can you say for sure that no matter what happened to you, you will choose to worship? That is what we want to focus on. That is what we want to talk about. So let's talk about why we worship. Why? Why? I could have chosen to go to church. I could have chosen to call a friend. I could have chosen to open up the Bible. Why I need to choose to worship? Okay? I want to give you maybe 5 seconds. See if you can come up with something to answer yourself. Okay? Why? Okay, I could have done so many things. Why worship? Well, you find the answer here. So, the thing why worship is such an important thing is because the things you do in life circumstances is something of quality to you. Okay? If you choose to worship no matter what happened to you in your face, in your life, the worship that you have chosen speaks about the quality. There's some kind of quality in worship. And is it because of the value in worship you choose to do that out of many other things? Okay? Because worship is important. Because worship is good. Just like what, if you can learn something from Job, this is what he did. Okay? When Jesus, after serving, or when he came out of a mountain peak experience, one time Jesus heard about the death of John the Baptist. Do you know that Jesus and John the Baptist, they were related? They were cousins, okay? So he heard about the death of John the Baptist. Do you know what Jesus did after he heard about this? He withdrew himself to worship, okay? This is what Jesus did. This is what Job did. There's some value to it. We're going to talk about that. But there's something interesting in worship that if you choose to do it, that is a very good way to connect you with God. Even though when you're in pain, even though when you don't know everything, even though you still have a lot of questions, you can worship God. You don't have a clear mind to worship God. Do you know that? Of course, if you have a clear mind, you should worship God, just like what we're doing here. But even if you struggle, it's important that you go worship. You may not be in this setting. It may just all by yourself. You know, you just close yourself in your own bedroom or something, shut the door, nobody is knowing what is doing. But you can do worship privately, individually, between you and God. You need to do that. Because even though we understand that our relationship with God is secure in eternity, but the question is, what about your everyday life? You already know that when your life on earth is done, you'll be with Jesus. That part is certain. That's one. That part is secure, anchored firmly in your mind. But what about the everyday life? Do you think Jesus is not interested in your everyday life? Do you think Jesus is not interested in your struggles? Do you think that when you are struggling, Jesus just leave you alone? No. You know all that. But the thing is, have you put all you have understood into practice? It is not enough just to understand. If you understand something, but you don't do it, you don't know it. Okay? You don't know it. You don't have it. Not until you put your understanding into practice, then you begin to have something. That's why the worship that you have chosen to do is taking what you have already understood, and now you can put it into practice. When you combine what you understand and the actual practice together, you have something. You have something. All right? I want to show you some Bible verse. This is what happened to a Bible character. His name is Jacob. According to Genesis chapter 28, verses 20 to 22, the context of the story is Jacob was running for his life because he's cheated his brother. Remember? At least two times in the Bible. And as a result, his brother was thinking about killing him. So at the suggestion of his mom, why don't you go to my home? Go to my home. Go find your uncle. He was running for his life. And that night, when he was all by himself, I don't know, in the wilderness or something, and he had a dream. That stairs, remember? And after having that dream, this is the conversation that he had with God. And this is what he said. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear. That was the condition. Just give me food to eat, clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's household. Then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. You know, the word God's house is the word Bethel. B-E-T-H-E-L. Beth, B-E-T, is house. El is God. So the house of God is Bethel or Bethel. Okay? And all that I have, I will give 10% to you. So Jacob made a promise. He was running for his life, and he was just asking for food to eat, clothes to wear, and you bring me back safely, then you will be my God. This place will be the house of God, and whatever I have, I'm going to give 10% to you. That is where the idea of tithing comes here. This is the second earliest Bible passage you find tithing, not in the law. Well, there is another sermon, okay? Now, there's another one, which is way many, many years later, in Genesis chapter 32, verse 9 to 10. Listen, by this time, then Jacob prayed, O God, my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, Lord, you who said to me, go back to your country and your relatives, and I will make you prosper. I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I have two camps, meaning two companies of my families. You know that he has how many wives? Does he remember? How many wives? Four. How many kids? 12. How many animals? I don't know. Two camps, you know. Talking about a lot. Remember what he was asking? If you give me food to eat, clothes to wear, and bring me back safely. That simple, simple thing. But what did he receive from God? Two camps. Camps of people, not counting the animals. That is how Jacob worshiped God. And yet, when you go back to Genesis 32, the context of that story is he was returning because God asked him to return, but he was afraid. Do you know why? His brother is coming to meet him, and he was afraid. And it was out of his fear of his brother that he had that conversation with God. Worship. When you're afraid, do you worship? What do you do? How would you respond when you're in a situation where you're afraid? What did Jacob do? Okay? Next, we have many more examples. Okay? We have Daniel and three friends. We have Jesus in the wilderness. And the one in 2 Timothy is chapter 4, verse 17 is Paul. He was all by himself. Stand before the king, Caesar. Nope, none of his co-workers was with him. He was all by himself. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me, the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. This is Paul's experience. When his life was getting tough, he went to God. Or God came to him. Okay? He worshiped God. Worship takes in many, many forms. Okay? Now, next question. Is it possible to worship? Okay, we understand the value now, but is it possible? Is it possible? When my world collapses, when it seems like there's no hope, I cannot see very, very far, I have no faith in life, or when you have pity on yourself, is it possible to worship God? Well, it depends on your understanding of worship. Growing up in a church environment for many young kids or some of the adults here, worship, the word worship is almost synonymous to music. When you say, "Where do you go?" Worship. What does it mean? Well, I go to sing. Okay? When, for example, when people say worship leader, what do you think of? Basically a song leader. So worship music is sort of like synonymous. But that is not what worship is about. Why? Because just like worship here, is worship just singing? No. We have other elements too. Later on, we'll have communion. But even if we don't have communion, we have what? Offering, right? We have scripture reading, right? We have welcome, right? We have message, right? So worship cannot be just music. We can say that worship includes music, or in worship, sometimes worship take a very important part. But worship is not just music. If worship is just music, then you have to go back to all these references that I've just shown you. Do you think Job would have the mood to sing? Do you think Jesus was singing when he was worshiping God after hearing the news of his cousin just being chopped off his head? When your life is going down to the tube, do you think you have the mood to sing? You understand what I'm saying? So worship is a lot bigger than music. Sometimes worship includes music, or music plays a very important part in worship. But there will also be time when there is no music in worship. So when you look at this, you begin to see that, then what is worship? Okay? What is worship? Do you know what is worship? Let me show you. In a very simple way, worship means loving God. Okay? Worship, in a very simple way, even a small child can understand. Worship means loving God. Now, loving God can take in various ways, right? Some people love God, and their way of expressing that love for God is singing. That's why, you know, you see music. But sometimes people worship the form of their worship or the form of their loving God is, I'm talking to God, called praying. Okay? And sometimes worship can mean that, okay, I'm going to open up the Bible, I'm going to read the Bible. Or I go to church, I give an offering. You know that? It can be expressed in this way. So if we look at it this way, loving God is what we have in mind. And in whatever way we express that love to God is called acts of worship, A-C-T-X. Okay? And it can be in any kind of forms. Okay? I can love God by loving the people in Sunday school. I can love God by loving to teach Sunday school. I can love God by definitely singing. I can love God by joining a choir, a church choir. You understand what I'm saying? It can be expressed in gazillion ways. But the way we do things is because I want God to know that I love Him. And you can find whatever ways that you're comfortable in expressing that love to God. Worship means you express your love to God. And it can come in any sizes and forms. That's why you see Job's worship is different than Jesus. Jesus' worship is different than Jacob. And Jacob's worship is definitely going to be different than you. You understand what I'm saying? We need to go back. And you need to express that love you have for God. You may say, well, when I'm on a good mood, I can understand that. But what happens when things are going south? Well, you can still love God, right? The moment when you know that I need to go back to God, it's already a thought of loving Him. Usually, I'm telling you, to Christians, usually when you struggle, you don't go to church. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. When you struggle, you don't read your Bible. How many times? How often? When you struggle, you don't pray. You may even say, well, you're treating me like this. Do you still think I would do this same kind of thing to you? Or you may be close to disappointed. Drop it. You may be this close of dropping everything you know about your relationship with God. That is typically what a Christian would do. And when things are getting hard, and you still can remember, I can go to God. That is love. Right? That is love. And if in your struggle you choose to go to God to worship Him, that is the biblical way. But the typical way is you don't go to church, you start praying, you start yelling at your kids, you have arguments with your spouse, okay? You drive crazy, you may have alcohol. This is typically what happened. Two Christians, all right? But what did Job do? He didn't understand the whole picture like you do. He didn't have the book of Job in front of him. It was his experience. He was having that experience at the time. But you read through his entire life, his entire experience. You know everything. You know more than he did. But even though he was blindsided in some way, shapes, or form, what did he choose? He never forgets that I can still go back to God. I don't understand, but I can still go back to God. I'm struggling, I can still go back to God. I'm not happy, I can go back to God. I want to swear something, well, do it to God. Okay? Go back to Him. And allow that worship time to allow God to minister to you. He may not give you the answer right away, but He will be there with you when you worship Him. That's why we choose to worship no matter what I face. That is what you need to learn if you are following Jesus. Jesus is not just a God for you when you're in the good terms. Jesus is all you have and all you need when you're down and under. That's why you follow him. Otherwise, why do you follow him? Why do you need Jesus? Why don't you follow yourself? You're capable, right? You can do something. Some of you have great earning power. Some of you have great family support. You know? Why not do things your way? Why do you follow Jesus? And if you choose to follow Jesus, then follow him to the T. Don't just follow him on the outside. Okay? May the inside of you and the outside of you matches one another. Be consistent. If you have to cry, well, you cry, you go to Jesus and cry. If you have to complain, you go to Jesus and you complain. There's a lot of time we see this in Psalm. Psalmists, they complain. But the thing is, they did it to God. What happened when you do it to each other? That will damage your relationships. Because even as close as your spouse, they are not ready for whatever you're going to dump on him or her. So don't try it. Or maybe you have already tried it. It doesn't work. That is the reason why you argue. So you don't want to repeat the same thing and see a different result, right? So why not try something better? Just go to God. Unload whatever you have to him. And let him come to minister to you. And let him comfort you. He will guide you. He may not give you the whole picture all at once. If you always think about God tells you everything, you don't want that. I'll give you an example. You already know that God anointed David, right? But the thing is, do you know that? You already know. The pathway for David to become a king is not a straight line. You know that. So if God, like, let's say if you're David, God comes to you, I'm going to make you the king. Okay? But for you to be a king, you're going to run for your life for more than 10 years. Okay? You have your wife and then someone will take her. Okay? You don't even know where you're going to find your food. You'll be keep running for your life because someone is going to go after you. Would you like to be the king? Yeah, someone is already shaking their head. That is the reason why God didn't tell David the whole picture. But he gave him enough. He gave him the promise, you will be the next king. But he never told him the way to become king will go through this and that, right? You know that because you read the Bible, but not David. But having gone through the whole experience, and finally, when David eventually became king, when he looked back, do you think he would appreciate that experience? I think so. It is through that more than 10 years of running for his life experience that made who King David was. Do you know how important King David to the Jews? Just look at the flag, the Israel flag. There's a star on it, right? Do you know the name of the star? Do you know how to call that star on the Israel flag? It's called the Star of David. Okay? I know. David is a very important figure in the Jewish society. You know, in the New Testament, when Matthew talked about Jesus' genealogy, he connects Jesus to only two Old Testament figures. You see that in the first chapter, the first half, the first half of the first chapter of Matthew. Abraham, David. That's it. Jesus' genealogy. Abraham. David. One of the things that David did skillfully is whenever he got into trouble, what did he do? He ran to God. That makes him unique. And when you learn from David, and when you also practice running to God instead of running away from God, you're doing things that God loves. And he will come alongside you and help you. That's why we choose to to worship, no matter what we face. It's not a joke, okay? Following Jesus includes both good and bad times. And the Jesus that you follow is not just the God of the good times. He is going to be there, okay? But he is also the good of your bad time. Not B-E-D, it's B-A-D, okay? He is the God of the bad experience that will happen in your life. So when those things happen, I hope it's not happening right now. So you need to learn, get ready. Next time when something bad happens to your life, what do? You run to Jesus. You worship him. You don't run away from him. You run to him and you worship. And you can use whatever forms you choose in your worship to God. And see what will happen to you when you do that. Maybe, even though we don't want to be heretic, okay? But then you can write your own testimonies, okay? Out of your own experience. This is where God showed up. This is how God met me where I was. And this is how he delivered me. That's why we choose to worship God no matter what we face. And I hope that it will sink in your heart. Don't just understanding it, but experience it. And once you experience, you'll be generous enough to tell everyone what happened. What happened in your unique situation? How did God show up? How did God meet where you were? How did God deliver you? How did God help you? So that you need to keep coming back to him and say, God, I want to thank you. I'm grateful. I want to tell everyone the great things that you have done. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to unpack the different parts of the song and that make up the whole idea of following Jesus. And today we come to understand and realize the importance of worship. It's not to say that other stuff, they're not good. No. They are helpful. But if we have to choose only one thing, it will be we choose to worship no matter what we face. We see this happening in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And we see how you came alongside these people when they ran to you. You show up. You met them where they were. You helped them. You delivered them. And you guide them. And you bless them. That is what we have seen in the Bible. And we want to see similar things happening in our own lives so that we can see there's consistency in what we see in the Bible and what can take place in each of our unique lives. Lord, you never change. Perhaps it is time for us to readjust ourselves so that we would invite you, we would allow you to come in our life circumstances, and you can come in and prove yourself and show yourself how great you are in our experiences. And we promise you, we will thank you and we will tell everyone and let other people know how great you are. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so before we take communion, I want to show you a song. This is what I do in my church now. Instead of saying a whole bunch of things, I use a song. So today the song is called Living Hope. I hope in the future, I usually send out the song link to Andrew or Maureen on Friday, and I hope they will share the song